Thanks for joining us. Well, the financial year has just drawn to a close, and to reflect on how it's ended and what might lie ahead in the coming quarters, I'm joined by CommSec's Chief Economist, Craig James. Craig, as always, it's good to talk.
Hi, Tom.
Now, why don't we reflect on the way that the economy has concluded the last financial year. Had a lot thrown at it, the bushfires, the pandemic. Under the circumstances, though, how would you rate the way that institutions have responded?
Well, I think we're doing very, very well. I think, you know, so the economy has responded very, very well to the lockdown, you know, so, and we're now starting to come out of that, you know, so lockdown, you know, so period, you know, across Australia. Really, there's only one area that we need to focus on, and it's Victoria at the moment. So that's the hot spot, you know, so that area needs to be in focus. We look at the broader economy in the March quarter, the economy went backwards only by 0.3%. Now, when you consider that everything bar the kitchen sink was thrown at us in the first quarter of the year, the fact that we were only down by 0.3% was quite a remarkable, you know, outcome. So we moved into the June quarter, April, May, June. You know, it's a lockdown period for most of that period through April and May, and now we're coming out of that, you know, lockdown period. But what we're seeing is that consumers are going back and starting to spend again, hiring starting to lift. So there are better signs, you know, sort of ahead. So we haven't beaten it. We've suppressed the virus in many parts of Australia, except for Victoria. We need to not be complacent about the situation, but we're in a good place, particularly when you compare with other countries around the world.
Now, you importantly mentioned the contraction that we saw in the March quarter that was modest. There is an extraordinary focus by commentators, particularly in the media, about the prospect of what is going to be almost inevitable that we'll see a recession. But in the scheme of things, this is less significant, isn't it? It's more about the pathway out of this contraction as far as the next 9 to 12 months is concerned.
Well, the important thing from the government's point of view and from the Reserve Bank's point of view is to keep businesses in business and to keep people, you know, employed. And that's been the focus from day one. And certainly, you know, so the Reserve Bank and the governments, and when we talk about governments, we're not talking just about the federal government, it's the state and territory governments that also stepped up to the place in terms of significant stimulus. But there has been significant stimulus thrown at the economy. Something in the order of $290 billion if you look at state, territories and federal government, including the Reserve Bank measures, something like 15% of GDP. So as I say, they haven't died wondering in terms of the stimulus they've thrown at the situation. And that's going to hold us in good stead, you know, so moving forward. So the unemployment rate is likely to peak in the September quarter of this year, around about 8.4%. But in looking 12 months out, we're probably going to see that unemployment rate sitting around about 7% in 12 months' time. So that's the area of focus, is ensuring that people get back into work. And if we can get even better improvement in terms of the job market, get that unemployment rate, you know, so below 7, you know, so in the 6s or 5s, that would be a remarkable situation.
And what would be the levers, if you like, for that unemployment rate to outperform or fall better compared to expectations?
It really gets down to confidence. It gets down to the confidence of consumers, gets down to the confidence of businesses. This is something that we're hearing constantly from the Federal Reserve Chair. We're hearing constantly from the Reserve Bank as well, that if confidence levels hold up, if people, you know, so go back to the normal activities, they spend again, they hire again, they invest again, then the economy gets back to normal and we start to see the economy motor through. We've got to remember, we've got a fair bit of stimulus behind us. A lot of dollars spent by governments, interest rates at super low levels, and if we get that magical confidence coming through, it means that we're going to do, you know, so even better in terms of growth of the economy and also getting, you know, sort of people employed.
Now, central to that confidence that you're talking about, the JobKeeper, JobSeeker initiatives, which have done so much in terms of keeping us on an even keel, but notwithstanding the positives, the conversation just seems to be entirely focused on when that gets withdrawn. What do you see the risks being here associated with that mindset?
It's an interesting situation. The federal government doesn't want people to be wedded to being unemployed. doesn't want to leave them on the sidelines for too long. And it may be the case in some individuals that if they're on JobKeeper or job seeker and they're enjoying, you know, sort of not being at work, enjoying being at home, and, you know, enjoying the dollars, you know, sort of coming through, that they might decide to stay on the job market sidelines for a period of time. So that's something the Reserve Bank and the government have got to weigh up when they're thinking about the stimulus that they're applying. There's a financial impact as well by leaving JobKeeper in place for a long period of time. But then on the other side of the equation, you remove that stimulus too quickly and you may undo all the good that you've done in terms of putting it in place in the first place. So our view is that the stimulus should be extended a little bit further, perhaps JobKeeper out to Christmas, and that way that, you know, sort of effectively the economy and a lot of people, you know, so can start again, you know, sort of in January. Hopefully, you know, by the time of the end of the year, there won't be anyone on JobKeeper. They'll all be back into the workforce, and as a result, we don't have that discussion about whether JobKeeper needs to be extended or not.
Now, we talk about the stimulus in terms of the confidence that it can bring to households, but that has also translated to a number of asset markets, including home prices. They've actually been quite resilient for the last couple of months in particular. How are you seeing this situation and some of the hurdles that market faces in the months and weeks ahead?
Well, the fact that we've only had home prices fall by a couple of percent over the last couple of months, yes, it is quite a good outcome. It ensures that the economy can continue to motor along. So if people are, you know, sort of continuing to build homes and buy homes, that's important in terms of, you know, sort of the growth of the economy. There are a couple of considerations in terms of the property market. One of those is the migration, the fact that migration has dried up. And if you haven't got the people coming from overseas, you don't have the demand for homes. So that's, you know, sort of super important, that demand, you know, sort of may fall off. People are out of work, unemployment rate a little bit higher. Again, that restrains demand for purchasing homes or building homes. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. But on the other side of the equation, we've got super low interest rates. That's providing a good degree of support. So we think that the housing market will continue to meander more sideways rather than anything else over the next couple of months, picking up towards year end, and then, you know, sort of gravitating, you know, sort of higher as we go through 2021. But one of the big factors that we're thinking about in terms of the housing market, and for most parts of our economy, is the fact that we haven't got those skilled migrants coming through. Something like 200,000 people on an annual basis, you know, so coming through. If we haven't got those people, you know, so the infrastructure projects that we're trying to institute, you know, so where are the workers going to come from? And if we don't have those workers from abroad, what does that mean for the property market?
And indeed, the infrastructure picture being a massive part of what's going to support the economy over the course of the next 5, maybe even 10 years, how should this be seen?
Well, certainly it will provide, you know, a significant benefit to builders, to construction companies, for building materials suppliers. Dollars in people's pockets, it may be, you know, sort of road being built in, you know, sort of Sydney or in Brisbane. It may be, you know, sort of railways, you know, sort of maybe, you know, sort of buildings of things like arts and recreation, you know, sort of type buildings. If we see those sorts of projects right the way across Australia, it puts dollars in people's pockets, and that money gets spent through the economy. So infrastructure is super important. It's something that we know that the Reserve Bank really wants to see, some of these shovel-ready projects, you know, sort of getting underway. And re-engaging, you know, sort of more parts of our economy. The only thing, reservation I have, and I've mentioned beforehand, is have we got the skilled workers to be able to do all the jobs which are right the way across Australia? And that's an interesting thing given the fact that our international borders are closed.
Indeed. Now, the stimulus that we've spoken about is a tide that lifts all boats, including the share market. Under the circumstances, given the scale of the pandemic, the recovery has been quite robust. How do you see this situation panning out?
Well, there's a lot more uncertainties rather than certainties. And, you know, yep. sort of And investors, you know, sort of hate uncertainties. Markets, you know, sort of hate uncertainty. I think everyone does, you know, sort of businesses as well. And this is something that we've heard from the Federal Reserve in recent days. We've heard from the Reserve Bank in recent days, significant amount of uncertainties. Are we going to have a second wave? Will there be a vaccine? Will there be a new virus? We hear of a swine flu, which, you know, is potentially, you know, sort of maybe coming through the system. We do know, in terms of the stimulus, that a significant amount of stimulus, and central banks and governments around the world are saying we're going to do whatever it takes to get the economy, you know, sort of back on board. But clearly, you know, so it's COVID-19 that is the focus point. That will remain the focus point for the next 12 months. There's a couple of other uncertainties that we need to deal with as well. There's a security situation in Hong Kong, which is, you know, sort of causing a degree of angst through the Asia region. There's the relationships between China and the United States, China and Australia. China and basically everyone, you know, so at the moment. That creates a degree of uncertainty as well for markets. But in terms of the share markets, our companies in Australia have responded very, very quickly to the pandemic. Some of them have withdrawn their good guidance statements. Some of them, you know, sort of have gone to the markets and got institutional retail placements, so some extra dollars. Some have drawn on debt facilities. But we look at corporate Australia and it's in good shape. And, you know, sort of certainly responded very, very quickly in terms of the situation. Indeed, the whole country has responded quickly to this situation. We know that in terms of the stimulus payments and in terms of what's happened from corporate Australia.
You made the very good point in relation to the place that China currently holds in relation to a range of factors, not least of which is its relationship with the US. But this has been something that's been ongoing for a long time, yet the markets ultimately have been quite resilient. So is that a cautionary note to investors not to get too distracted by some of these things that garner a lot of headlines, but ultimately markets look past that and focus on key things like low interest rates and liquidity?
Well, at the end of the day, China will sort it out, the United States will sort it out, Australia will sort it out. We have these disagreements that occur from time to time, yes, with our trading partners, but at the end of the day, you know, they've got to act in the interest, you know, so their people. And Chinese companies want our iron ore, they want our base metals, they want, you know, sort of our gas and energy, you know, sort of products as well. They want our high quality agriculture, you know, sort of products. So the expectation is that that demand is still going to exist. There may be, you know, sort of some skirmishes that happen from time to time on the trading, you know, sort of environment, but you know, the basic, you know, sort of broad fundamentals of the economy, you know, sort of got to constantly be focused on. And something that the Reserve Bank governor has said recently, you know, said our fundamentals, when we think about our situation, you know, sort of debt, our budget, our level of unemployment, you know, sort of level of growth, you know, sort of, we're in very, very good shape in terms of our fundamentals. And that should be something that investors should be very, very much focused on, rather than the noise that they hear from time to time, particularly in terms of a geopolitical environment, places like China and the rest.
Another factor that looms large this year, at the end of the year, will be the US presidential election. But again, we saw Donald Trump elected amongst a very odd environment, but ultimately the share market rose. So should people get worried about the election at the end of the year?
Well, that was quite remarkable when Donald Trump was elected. You know, so you looked at our market on the day that he was elected, and it was tanking in a big way. The expectation was that the US market would be down significantly, you know, overnight. We came in the next day, and lo and behold, guess what? The US market was up. Because investors are rationalists. They say, well, okay, we've got Donald Trump now. What does he stand for? He stands for growth in terms of the economy, infrastructure spending, reduction, you know, sort of taxes. He's lived up to his, you know, sort of word over time. And markets have moved higher as a result of that. Now, it's an unknown quantity in terms of Joe Biden and what he will bring to the table, what, you know, sort of his focal points, you know, sort of going to be. We still don't know what Donald Trump will be campaigning on as he gets into November as well. So it's a very interesting, you know, sort of situation, something that everyone should be focused on, because, you know, sort of because of that, you know, sort of interest. But at the end of the day, we'll just have to wait until November, see who gets in there, and then respond from there.
Indeed. So, and finally, for people watching, they'll probably be hearing about a range of forecasts from time to time as they relate to different economies. It's pretty hard to put a finer point on these sorts of numbers at the moment. How much weight should you attach to them?
The forecasts are changing on a daily or an hourly basis, so it's a very difficult environment to forecast because it's a fast-moving situation. And we saw that, you know, so in terms of COVID, you know, sort of in January, we were only just hearing the elements, you know, sort of COVID coming through, even in terms of February. And March basically was a full-blown pandemic, and it was seeing the biggest threat to the global economy in 90 years. So things can change in a very short space of time. We are going to hear about some big numbers over the next couple of months. In terms of the June quarter, which we just completed, the April, May, June period, the economy in Australia may contract in the order of around about 8%. That's a huge level, you know, sort of reduction, you know, that we're seeing. But a snapback is more than likely over the September and the December quarters. And for this year, the economy may contract by around about 4% and then rebound around about 3%, you know, so next year. So it's going to be a difficult next 12 to 18 months. But certainly we've got through the worst of it, really, in terms of the lockdown in the economy and the effect in terms of economic activity. We know that we're in, you know, the rebuilding phase, and hopefully, you know, so the governments will continue to leave that stimulus in place to ensure that we do indeed get out of this one, you know, so in the best possible shape that we can.
Indeed. Well, hopefully we'll be able to realise those hopes by the end of this year. Craig, it's always been a pleasure to reflect on a financial year with you. May we do it again next year. Thanks
indeed
for your time.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for joining us for this conversation about what's in store for the economy over the course of the next 12 months.